Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for your regular host, David Inge. Our producers are Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is at the controls. Glad you could be here today. During this hour of the show, we will take your questions on winter skincare, or skincare in general. It happens to be winter. We have as our guest someone who has been on the show many times. Dr. Ann Tice is with us. She is a board-certified dermatologist, has been in the community here for many years, and comes by every once in a while to talk about skincare and take your questions. That's the point of the show. If you would like to join us, you can simply call us. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Anywhere you hear us around the Midwest, or if you're listening online, you can use the toll-free line, 800-222-9455. And your questions for Dr. Tice are more than welcome. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah. I personally, you know, I'm tired of winter. Can I just say that?
Well, I was tired of winter before Christmas, I think. So. Yeah, go ahead.
But it just, you know, everything's dry, you know, and I'm a musician, so it really affects my fingers and so forth as well.
Oh, they can get really dry. I think the hands take the brunt of a lot of the dryness in the air. Yeah. And we started, well, I think that we started winter a lot earlier this year. We had all that ice and then the almost to below zero temperatures all the time. And that really wreaks havoc because we're living inside with next to a desert-like quality for most people. Even humidifiers on the houses, they don't really make up for the dryness that you'll feel in your skin in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, I've tried to find the right kind of lotions that really make a difference, and it seems kind of hit or miss.
Well, with a musician using your hands, it's a little bit difficult because the greasier something is, actually, the better it is for you. Mm. Well, then that makes it difficult. You know, if you're doing the piano, you want to slide off the keys. But in general, if people can, I'll just go over some basics to start with, and then we'll catch a couple questions.
Sure.
But you want to use a very gentle soap, Dove or Purpose or Oil of Olay or some of those combination cleanser, moisturizer soaps are good. So gentle soap, very limited amount of soap. Really only use it where you need it, armpits, face, bottom, feet, and that's about it. You don't need to suds up and down your arms and legs unless you were really sweaty, got really dusty cleaning the garage out or whatever. And then when you get out of the shower, try to use the moisturizer immediately. And with your hands, if you can carry some equivalent of a sample tube along to moisturize off and on, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. It's like keeping it up with the hands. My husband's a radiology, and he always one-ups me in dermatology sometimes. And he actually will moisturize his hands before going to bed, too. Mm. Well, I had never thought of that. and that's my profession. I'm going, well, oh, that's a good idea. Do it in the morning and at night. Oh, yeah. what a revelation. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that's made a big difference. And, you know, every once in a while you get these splits in your fingertips, which are just really annoying.
Splits are probably the hardest thing ever. If there was one good thing that fixed it, I wouldn't have like a whole handout on them. But basically the same things. We're moisturizing frequently, mild soaps. If you can, I'd moisturize every time after you wash, and that gets a bit annoying. Sometimes people will go to the store and they'll get a little, it's called Steri-Strip. It's used to actually close wounds at the medical supply store. And wearing a Steri-Strip over there will help pull it together. I kind of like having people use a teeny dab of ointment, antibiotic ointment in it, and then the Steri-Strip, and just replace the Steri-Strip over it. But if you do anything, or some people have used Band-Aids, but Band-Aids tend to keep the water and then it gets soggy in there, whereas Steri-Strip doesn't. If you do something like that, you want to protect it and keep putting ointment or moisturizer for at least 2 to 3 days after it's completely healed, because otherwise you go to do something and it'll pop back open again.
Right. We have a couple callers. Let's include them in our conversation. And first up is someone in Urbana on line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a solution for this winter that I am about to engage in. I'm leaving on Sunday for Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, we want to go.
Yep. Come along. But I wanted to know if there's any, are there any special products that I should be aware of for skin protection in those countries? And should I bring what I have here, which is a 45, what do you call it, SPF, or should I wait until I get there and purchase something that's more suitable?
Oh, well, you know what you're dealing with if you buy it here, although, you know, luggage and such is an issue, but I would probably take some along with you. Australia is summer there. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
But they have had one of the highest rates of skin cancer around the world,
right,
particularly since they're blonde-blue-eyed. They have intense sun exposure, and everybody just got used to the idea that, oh, yeah, I'm going to get skin cancer by the time I'm 30. So they've started a huge public ad campaign, and it's hard for me to say it. I'll probably muff it. But anyway, it's slip, slop, slap. Slip on, I think it's a long sleeve shirt. Slop is slop on sunscreen, and slap on a hat. So I would take some type of a hat or visor, hopefully a hat, to protect yourself.
Right.
And the sunscreens, the 45 sounds great. Yes. Reapply it if you're going to be out a bit, and try to apply at least half hour before you go out.
Oh, okay. And then about how long when you're out? Does it?
Well, if you're swimming and sweating, they say reapply every hour or two. I mean, that's annoying.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay.
And then we never use enough either. I always advise people to get a higher number when they know they're going to be out in the sun, because we tend to put like a little teeny tiny dab on our face and smear it all around. Well, they say that 2 ounces should do most of the body. That's a shot glass. That'd be running through a bottle pretty fast.
Oh,
but if you're putting it all over your body, not just on your face.
Right. Yeah, usually I forget once it's on, you know, but I'll try to be more careful.
Okay. Have a great time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Have a great trip. Another caller on line number 4 from Lafayette. We'll go with them. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
We're especially warned, I think, about Australia with some kind of hole in the protective layer from the sun. I'm desperate enough to ask this. What with the cracks and joints opening and reopening despite best treatment, do the drugstores sell any kind of, I'll call it, skin filler to fill up those joints until they can heal themselves?
Well, now are you talking about like splits on the fingers in the wintertime?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there are some other things you can do besides what I already mentioned with an antibiotic ointment and maybe a Steri-Strip. There is something called invisible Band-Aid, and that does burn like stink when you put it right on, but that will, it's kind of like putting a thick nail polish over. And if you, well, one of my friends, she works in a flower shop, and she will leave a little bit of that near her workstation, and she'll reapply that off in the day. And so that's basically caulking it or sealing it almost like if you had nail polish over it, and that is beneficial. There was also a wonderful but crazy lecture I went to a number of years ago. Some people now swear by this. You can go into the hardware store, and those little O-rings, those little yellow wax rings that you use to fix the toilet down to the flooring. Mm. One lecturer recommended getting that, cutting a little chunk off of that, this heavy yellow wax, and spreading that over the splits. Mm. I've had some people swear by that, although it's like $3. It can't be that expensive to try. And also some elderly patients in the nursing home that had cracks on their heels, they put that over those, and it really seals out water. It protects the skin quite well. So there's some everywhere from regular to goofy ideas to try.
Wax? O-ring.
Well, I'll call it an O-ring. I'm not a plumber, but I know it's what you stick the toilet down to the floor so there's no leaks. And so this crazy lecturer, but he's good.
Some seal.
Yeah, would recommend leaving a little glob of this yellow wax at most of your sinks and putting a bit on, although it is sticky and tacky.
And the other one, the individual bandage?
It's called invisible Band-Aid. There are several variations of that. They usually come in a little bottle and you paint it on. But Johnson's & Johnson's has a product that's a little on the expensive side.
There's a thing called liquid skin.
New skin.
That's what it
is.
Yes.
New skin. That one is probably the most economical.
And it does sting when you put it on because I think it's got some alcohol or something to like, antiseptic.
It's an open wound.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But, I mean, it's made for the skin, so that's a good thing to try, too.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're most welcome.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing I might mention is, for instance, on the heels in the winter, we tend to build up a lot of hard, dry, dead skin, and dry skin is not very pliable. So when you walk on that and put all the force of your body weight on it, that dry skin will tend to crack open more. I've had people try to file down that really super hard skin around the heels, too. And then it's almost like if you can get rid of that unmovable surface, then you're going to be able to have more skin flexibility, and it won't be as apt to crack and crack way down into the so it gets bloody, actually. Mm. It's kind of like the idea of a dry stream bed. When the water dries up, it cracks, and it's a little bit difficult to come back with that. Do watch for infection, though, if it's really down into the sore part of the skin.
Our lines are open if people would like to ask questions about winter skin care. We have our guest this morning, Dr. Ann Tice, board-certified dermatologist, with us to take your questions. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Lines are open, so if you call now, you can certainly get in the conversation quickly.
Everyone is probably out enjoying this lovely, balmy Illinois winter.
Yes, up to 40 degrees. Let's see.
It's a heat wave here.
What is it now? The temperature? I'm trying to find it on this. Oh, yeah, it's 40 degrees outside.
So yeah, it's a heat wave. Oh. Time for shorts.
Hallelujah. Well, the students have been wearing shorts all winter, so.
Well, yeah, that works.
Shorts and flip-flops. That's the thing. We have several callers. In fact, our line's lit up like a Christmas tree or something. Next up, line number one, someone in Urbana. Good morning.
Yes, hello?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good subject because I have these cracks in my thumbs. But I thank you for that new skin. With the cracks in your heels, mm-hmm. I found that in the wintertime, if I just cream them, put some nice cream on them, some kind of lotion, and then put a sock on.
Oh, yes.
It really helped. I mean, within a week, you're going to, if depending on how bad it is, you know, how long you want to do it. But that
helps on the hands, too. That's an old, wonderful trick that we've been doing for years.
I used to keep old gloves for that.
Right. Get an old pair of cotton gloves, uh-huh. and Vaseline is a great thing. Put Vaseline on your skin at night and wear the cotton gloves to bed. Don't let your spouse make fun of you. But the same thing will work on the heels because that intensifies the moisturization of putting a heavy ointment on.
Then after you do that, you just keep creaming them, lotioning them.
Yeah. Excellent point. And we do tell that to people all the time. So very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call. Next up, another listener in Champaign, line number two. Good morning.
Hello, doctor.
Good morning.
Are you back in private practice by any chance again?
No, I'm not, but I'm having a great time.
Darn. Years ago, I was a patient of yours when you were at Carl, and I had a series of photographs taken of all my wonderful moles because melanoma runs in my clan. And so, darn it. Anyway. Back to the sun question, the tack I've been taking, the way I've been protecting myself against the sun, which I have to get out in, unfortunately, I don't use sunscreen at all. I use cloth. I cover everything up in the summer I wear long sleeve shirts and a big hat, and I stay out of the sun the same way vampires do. If you see me walking down the street, I dodge between the shady places and. And if I can stand in the shade versus the sun, that's where I am, and so on and so forth. And I heard heard someplace, and the reason I've shied away from sunscreens is, first, they're sloppy and stuff, but I heard an article on the radio some years ago about sunscreen is great at stopping the skin from tanning, but it blocks UVB or UVA, one or the other, really well, but it doesn't. Very few, if any, sunscreens block the ultraviolet light that actually damages the skin cells and can, in my case, perhaps aggravate or cause a melanoma.
Okay.
Is there any truth to that? And then I've also heard that there is a compound that one can put in with the clothing they wear that increases its UV resistance to help.
Yes. I can comment on a lot of those things. First of all, great job wearing long sleeves and a hat. And I would try to wear fabric that if you hold it up to the light, you don't see much come through. For instance, a wet T-shirt will have an SPF of 2. But there's a lot more clothing now that is actually designed to have an SPF of 30. There was a product by the Rit Dye Company, and for some dumb reason, I am blocking on the name, that you could toss it in the wash, and it's supposed to make your clothing last for an SPF of 30. For 30 washes. But I had a heck of a hard time finding that, and I just can't remember the name right now, but I know it was by Rit Dye.
I can go to one more extreme. You'll see me walking down the street in a sunny day with an umbrella open. So
that's a great idea, too. I mean, they've done that in other cultures for a long time.
Yes, well, thank you.
Do remember that you do get some reflection from other surfaces, the water, the sand, the sidewalk. So I often recommend sunscreen. Well, I do recommend sunscreens with that, too. The question about sunscreens. The old ones used to only screen one part of light, ultraviolet B. They didn't really get the ultraviolet A, which is the stuff that comes in through window light. Ultraviolet B is probably stronger at making skin cancers, but they both can contribute to it. Ultraviolet A is what you get in the tanning parlors. That can also contribute to skin cancers. But they have done a whole lot of great work with sunscreens over the last, I'd say, 7 to 10 years. And now they have things that screen the A and the B light quite well. I'm allergic to some of the sunscreen chemicals, and I will admit they're greasy. One of the ones that really is the best is a titanium dioxide or a zinc oxide. That is more a physical screen. In other words, it does not let the light penetrate into the skin. Some of the chemical ones, which unfortunately I'm allergic to, will let a little light through and also absorb its energy, and they might be a little bit hotter. The zinc oxide, titanium dioxide, is better now. It isn't like what you used to see on the lifeguards' noses where they're all white. But they are wonderful, and they don't get quite as hot, and they're good for people with allergies like me. And that's all I've got to say on that. But I think it's a great idea to use sunscreens, and it does screen out the A and the B now, particularly ones I mentioned.
Great. Our lines are full. Let's go on and talk with the next listener, someone in Tuscola, on line number 3. Good morning.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I wanted to switch gears, if I could, just a little bit.
Sure.
I'm trying to get pregnant, and I have horrible, horrible rosacea. A doctor I was consulting with said, absolutely, the drugs that I was on was minocycline. He said, absolutely get off of that for months before trying to get pregnant. But I have gotten off of it, and it's been about 6 months now, and my rosacea is coming back really, really badly. And it's quite embarrassing. And I'm wondering if, while I'm pregnant or while I'm trying to get pregnant, what can I take that will control this?
Well, that
won't harm the fetus.
You know, we're all touchy about not wanting to do anything to a fetus. Nature does give you a little bit of a grace period from the time that you become pregnant till when it's the embryo is implanted and actually drawing on your blood, which would be any systemic medicines you take would be affecting the fetus then. So I have said to people, I mean, there's some people that can try for years to get pregnant. I've said to most people, if you think you're late for your period, stop all the medicines. I don't necessarily have people go off at 3 months ahead if they have regular periods. If you don't know, then yes, his advice is great, his, her. Minocycline, absolutely don't. What happens with that is if you take that when you're pregnant, it will be incorporated into the bones of the baby, and they can have stained teeth. So we don't recommend that. And most of the oral antibiotics, most oral medications, if you know you're pregnant, we really try to stay away from them, and that's terrible. If it's really, really bad, you might get clearance from your OB-GYN person to take erythromycin, which is mediocre but can help in severe rosacea or acne during pregnancy, but it's not supposed to be as harmful to the fetus. Again, we try to shy away from that. Topicals you're really stuck with too, because most of the things that we might use prescription-wise have not been tested in pregnancy. I absolutely don't have people use Retin-A, but that would irritate your rosacea anyway. The benzoyl peroxides are available over the counter, and if it's not too drying, you should be fairly safe with using a benzoyl peroxide wash that's not staying on your skin, and perhaps even putting a 5% over-the-counter benzoyl peroxide on your face at night if it's not irritating. But again, I would get clearance from your OB-GYN person on that. Most of them say it's okay. Sometimes in a pinch we'll use a 2% liquid erythromycin on the face. Yeah, but it's really not super effective.
Okay, well, two more kind of questions that are related to that. One of the topicals that I have is a product called Avar-E, and it's kind of a green liquid that has a sulfur base to it that I put on my face. Is that harmful? And B, I was also told that maybe a possible homeopathic option was zinc amino acid. Is that harmful slash effective?
Well, we did years. Boy, when I was a resident, that's a long time ago, they did some studies on zinc and acne, and it was variable effectiveness. Homeopathic things, sometimes they're studied well and sometimes not. I wouldn't take it if I was pregnant. I'm not quite familiar with the product you mentioned. With the topical sulfur drugs, I would have to check in one of the physician's desk references to make sure they're cleared for pregnancy. So I can't tell you on that. I don't remember treating pregnant women with that.
Okay, wonderful. Well,
mostly I would use a benzoyl peroxide wash and try to get by on that. Fortunately, in the first trimester, things can be wacky, but often in the second and third trimester, acne and rosacea do settle down, although your flushing may not.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll hope for that.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your help. I sure do appreciate your advice.
Sure.
Thanks for the call. We'll go on next. Actually, I should pause here and reintroduce our guest since we're coming close to our midpoint during this hour, Focus 580. Ann Tice, she's a board-certified dermatologist, and she's here taking questions about skincare. If you would like to join us, the number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Next up, someone in Villa Grove on line number 4. Good morning.
I had another question about the cracked heels.
Yeah.
When I get a pedicure, some salons use a razor and basically shave the dead skin off. My question is that safe or is that preferable to using a file on them? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. If the person is skilled, it could be safe. I would make sure that any files, any razor, any of that used in the salons are really sterilized well. Absolutely. Oh, this is just something about pedicures. Absolutely never go to a place that uses those jet bubbles unless you see them use bleach for 20 minutes in between you and the person before you. It takes 20 minutes of a bleach solution in those bubblers to clear out all the bacteria. So that's one thing that I would just mention as an aside. But so far as thinning down the skin, I think either can be used. If you have a very careful person, you don't want in any way for them to be getting too aggressive with that so that they make you bleed at all. The skin on the heels is thick. But that would be a bad problem so far as infection goes or whoever else was in there first. I would make sure they have really good sterile technique if they're going to use a razor blade on you.
So it's all about the skill of the person doing it. And
I mean, I think I'm more comfortable with a file because you know, I can't slip as much. But
Well, I hope that helps. We have a couple callers, and we'll go on next to a listener in Champaign on line number 1. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a comment about cracked thumb, and I thought that I got this advice from you years ago over the same program to use amlactin.
Oh, yes.
Because I have found that if I catch my cracking thumb, and I do a lot of hand sewing work, but if I catch that fast enough, I can, like, heal that overnight.
Well, that's another thing that's really important to emphasize is if you know that every winter your hands are going to get dry and cracked around the cuticles and thumbs or whatever, immediately, once we turn the furnace on, once it dips below, say, 65 degrees, 60 degrees outside, start moisturizing your hands on a regular basis all the time. Now, the amlactin has been around for a long time. It has lactic acid in it. There are some other products that have glycolic acid in them. They're called alpha hydroxy acids. And they help to make the skin not build up and get as hard, dry, and immovable, like I was mentioned. So that's another good thing. They may not be quite heavy enough moisturizer once you're super, super dry, but as a preventative and as an early treatment, they're great. And you could always use those and put a heavier ointment over them if you've gone a little bit past things.
And it smells horrible, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
I had a question, too, about the new, quote, clinical strength Vaseline.
Oh, yeah, we just got samples of that this week.
And I love that.
It's great.
The main ingredient is glycerin.
Uh-huh. Well, glycerin is a humectant. It tends to draw water into or from the air. One of the big ingredients in that I think is really helpful is that it has a lot of dimethicone. And dimethicone is a very good skin moisturizer. It's got a nice slip, a nice feel to it. And it can be really silky feeling on the skin. Yeah, I just got samples this week, and everybody likes it. So.
I like it very much. And thank you for making a very complicated scientific thing sound so easy.
Oh, I wish it was easy to cure, though.
Well, you have all the big words, but it's nice to know that it just works.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We're just at our midpoint. We have a couple callers waiting and time for others if you would like to join us. Your questions for Dr. Ann Tice, a dermatologist here on skincare, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana, elsewhere, 800-222-9455. We'll go next to a listener in Mattoon on line number 2. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. I had one of my thumbs end up in a crack thumb, and then when that kind of healed up, I noticed that I got a very cherry red-looking area between my fingernail and my first knuckle on several of my fingers on one hand. And then I also noticed, like, on the just basically on the top of the hand, between the first and second knuckle, some of that would become dry and maybe in like patchy spots. Last for a couple of weeks. Any idea what would cause that? Is that just dry skin?
Okay, now this is going to be something I need to see. Is it just red and flaky, or is it a raised actual growth?
No, it's just like it's inflamed.
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of people go from this miserable dry skin in the winter, and they cross the border into getting eczema. And hand eczema is really a common thing, too. And you can moisturize and moisturize. It might help it, but it doesn't always prevent it. When you start getting dry, rough, irritated, sometimes itchy areas that are flaky, that's tipped the scale and gone actually into dermatitis. Over-the-counter, using a 1% hydrocortisone ointment, ointment meaning greasy like Vaseline, not the cream as in Cordate. Cordate is 1% hydrocortisone, but it's in a light base. You want in the disgusting heavy Vaseline base. That's a little stronger. That may help a little bit, but you need to reapply it a lot. That would be one that would be good to be putting on at night and wearing those gloves that I mentioned, cotton gloves before. Or if it's really not going to go away with something like that, then we start using prescription medications because that's beyond just dry skin. Prescription cortisone strength things. What you could ask your primary doctor for, too?
Okay, I had asked one time. This had happened before a long time ago, and he said, oh, it's just dry skin kind of was the end of it, and it went away.
Yeah. Well, a lot of this will improve quite a bit once we get spring again, when we do. But if dry skin has progressed to the point where it's reddish patches with red and flaking, that's an eczema. And I would try that 1% hydrocortisone ointment. If that doesn't work and if it's still uncomfortable, then you might have to ask your doctor for a script. Another thing is, doggone it, our hands are in everything. And if we were to hire a maid, never do any physical work at all, our hands would get a lot better. But keep in mind that if people have to do wet work, such as they're washing the car, I don't know why you'd do that unless it was in the garage now, or washing dishes, if you can wear gloves on so your hands are not in that water as much, that's a beneficial thing too. You need to wash your hands a lot, but the more you have them immersed in water or irritants such as say furniture stripping, try to protect your hands as much as you can. And if you're going to work in the workshop, maybe wear some gloves so that your hands aren't as dirty so you don't have to scrub them as long. So protection helps a little bit too.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks very much for the call. Another caller on line number 4 next in Bloomington, Illinois. Good morning.
Yeah, very interesting program. Thank you. I'm very interested in the fact that you talk about creams and lotions because I have read several times by doctors that lotions and creams don't help the skin very much.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
My goodness, they do.
Even that Dr. Rosenthal in the Sunday paper said that one time. And I have for years used lotion morning and night all over my body. And I would be dried up if I didn't. But I moisturized it with water first.
Well, see, what happens is when I have people take a shower or a bath, I tell them to take it with warm water, not hot, and short shower time's not long, and immediately after you get out, before you comb your hair or do anything else, within a minute, if you can, moisturize all over, because then you're trapping the moisture that you've soaked up from the shower into your skin, and that's when you want to moisturize right away before that dries off. So pat the water beads off and moisturize. So you're doing that already.
Oh, that's good.
Putting the creams on twice a day is a great idea for the winter. Once a day might suffice for some people with normal skin or in the summertime, but twice a day is a good idea. And as I mentioned, the heavier the lotions, the ones where you have if you have dry skin, if you have a bottle of lotion and you tip it upside down and it runs right out like water, that is not going to be as good a moisturizer as a thicker one.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the really greasy ones like Aquaphor and something called Eucerin, Eucerin, those are greasy, and Vaseline, they're all three greasy.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a much better job for severely dry skin, like some people get so dry on their legs in the winter.
Yeah.
Those are best used at night because then they don't muck up your clothing in the morning.
I try to use those with the organic, as much organic. Some of those new ones that are coming out seem to work really well.
Yeah, well, it there's lots of good things, a lot of different products. So it just depends upon how heavy they are.
Thank you for that, too,
sure.
Because I've wondered about that. I also, my thing is hair. How do you moisturize your hair?
Well, with that, it would be a gentle shampoo. Some that are very, very sudsy and foam a lot, they have more chemicals in them that take the oil out of our hair, which, you know, is great if you're 15 and have greasy skin. But you might get a shampoo that it's more a base for dry skin, and a cream rinse will help too a little bit. Boy, there's a lot of static in the air now, though.
Well, I don't even use shampoo anymore because I have curly hair, and I use just cream rinse, and it gets really clean that way. But it still is dry, and sometimes I put oil on it.
Oh, now
just oil.
Okay. This might be something different other than the actual shaft of the hair being dry. A lot of people will call. They say they have a dry scalp. Mm-hmm. Their scalp gets flaky. Well,
no,
or dandruff.
I don't. Since I quit using shampoo, I don't have that anymore.
Ah, okay. Well, some people that do have that, when they have a flaky scalp, that's actually a seborrheic dermatitis. Seborrheic means oily, so those flakes there are oily.
Oh.
And then I do have them use a shampoo, and hopefully at least every other day to help clear those flakes. But it doesn't sound like you have that problem right now.
Well, no, it went away after I used the conditioner, but it still have dry, you know, the hair shaft is dry in this kind of weather.
Yeah.
And I just put oil on it. Do you think that's...
Well, it's not hurting anything, but if... I can't see your scalp, so I don't know. Some of the people that have that condition, dandruff or seborrheic dermatitis, putting oil on it is really the reverse of what you want to do.
Well,
but
yeah.
I can't tell because I can't see you.
Yeah, it doesn't seem... My scalp seems okay. It's just my hair shaft that seems dry. But thank you. Very interesting. And I'm so glad to know that creams are okay because I really have read they're not. Don't help.
Well, that's one opinion, I suppose, but we have a second opinion here. And
thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Let's go on next to someone in Chicago on line number one. Good morning.
Thank you. There's a saying, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. What can a person do if they're in an area where there just isn't any water to wash, barely enough to drink, as well as areas that the water is so polluted that one can hardly think of drinking, let alone washing with it. And I was wondering, for the care of the skin, to recommend some things to brush off whatever sweat and toxin accumulations that may go to the surface. Have you any knowledge that you could contribute towards those conditions?
Oh.
I mean, without having water.
Well...
You mean like those antibiotic hand
washes? I know they're dry
shampoos
for the hair and things like that, but...
I'm not really aware of any dry shampoo or dry cleansing agent for...
Body scrubs and...
Other than, you know, the wipes and the towelettes and all those have a moisturism some way, so
A lot of alcohol,
And that some of those hand sanitizers and all those things, they have a really high content of alcohol. And they have had a little syndrome lately that they talk about in our literature with overuse of them can actually create more hand dermatitis and more dryness. So, but I can't comment on this. I'm sorry.
Well, this is a case where the world was facing this water crisis and, the way it's getting so polluted, you hate to think of even drinking it, let alone washing with it.
Well, indeed. Thanks for the call. I mean, there are many places in the world where water certainly is a crisis. We're lucky that we're not in those, you know, that situation ourselves here. We're lucky in a lot of ways. But I do wonder, we're seeing, I mean, even in gyms I see now, they've got this antibiotic hand sanitizer stuff that you just squirt on your hand. And I think it's got alcohol in it and probably, you know, I just wonder what that does.
It's drying. It's dehydrating. Yeah. I mean, I like to, you know, have one of those pop-up hand towels after I get through working out in the morning and use that with all the different equipment that you're exposed to, which I hope will keep down colds and such.
Sure.
But all of those things are drying. And if you're just using those and using them repeatedly and have a dry skin problem to begin with, that's going to aggravate things a lot. So, I mean, there's some people, they need to wash their hands a lot. When I was doing lots of surgery and, you know, wash and scrub in between, that's really drying. My dad was a surgeon. He always had dry skin, summers included. So the more that you're washing off, the more you're using those hand sanitizers, then the more dry and irritated you can get your hands.
Our guest this morning during this hour, Focus 580, is Dr. Anne Tice. She's a board-certified dermatologist, been in practice here many years in this community, taking your questions on skincare. We have one caller waiting. We'll get right to them. And time for plenty of other calls if you'd like to join us. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Listener in Champaign, next, line number two. Good morning.
Yes, hello. I have a couple of questions about one of the perennial bugaboos, that's toenail fungus. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there is yet anything new. You talked a long time ago about some topicals that might be coming out, but at that time none of them made it that were really effective. I wondered if there are any better ones or if we're still stuck with the oral antifungals, and if so, what kind of reactions do you have with those? Is there any one of those you prefer over another?
I think we're still stuck, which I wish I could tell you something different. Yes, there is a prescription surface medicine that can be used, but it's got, last I heard, I think it's still the same, about 11% efficacy, which isn't really high. And then you're stuck.
Is that Penlac? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you have to use that on a daily basis. So it's that's the same old thing. Then the two oral, the two main oral products, Lamisil and Sporinox, they're still the mainstay. It seems like the Lamisil is a little bit better medication to use. Fingernails, we can get a pretty good success rate, but toenails are always a trouble. Fingernails, oh, it depends upon, you know, what you read, but anywhere from the lowest, I think, is about 65% up to maybe 85% success, and then but the toenails are 40% or so. And often when people have gone through these medicines, which can be expensive, which may or may not be covered by insurance, which probably should have blood tests done, you can get it back. How annoying is that? But it depends upon which medicine you pick. Some of them will interact with other pills that a person could be taking. Sometimes they can cause some anemia, some drop of the white blood count, or possibly irritate the liver. So it's not something you want to just jump into without thinking or talking it over with your doctor. And darn it, I wish they worked better.
Do you have any idea? You talked one about one that might be coming out that was available in Europe. Is that just
gone?
Oh,
yeah.
Now,
that, you know, I was all excited about that about 10 years ago, Amorlofen. I've had a couple people that travel to the Philippines or Europe get that, but I haven't heard of it being here.
Yeah, that was actually available in Australia. And I got, I think, called Loseril.
It was a trade
for it. But, it sounds like to me it's like more of the same.
It is, and it's always frustrating. Sorry about that.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. We'll go on next to another Champagne listener on line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. I am wondering what it looks like when you have bed bug bites.
Oh.
My brother, where he lives, they found some bed bugs, and I've been helping him clean his room, and I've noticed that I have these red bumps on my face because my brother likes to hug a lot, and I'm just wondering what they look like and if I might have them and what to do with it.
Well, bed bugs, that's made the literature, our literature, a lot lately, too. There's like a huge epidemic, and it's getting to be very difficult to control. For instance, in dormitories and in public housing areas, motels, even respectable motels, they're little tiny critters that come out, and they mostly like to feed on us at night. So the classic that they teach you in dermatology residency is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You often will have three little bumps all in a row, and that's why they call it breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that are red and raised. And they may not swell up quite as high as a mosquito bite. They may be a little bit flatter, but there'll be three all in a row. And I stayed at a great place in St. Louis once many years ago, and it's a delayed hypersensitivity, so you don't always see the bites like the next morning. It may be a day and a half or two later. Like sometimes with insect bites, you can get bit and you may not show it for a day or two. So as we're going home on Sunday, I was really itchy, and goodness gracious, there were three in a row on my leg. That usually will be on more of the covered areas of the body because they like warm conditions and get under the covers. It's not something that you would typically pass by hugging someone. They feed at night and then they go back to their little crevices in the wall or whatever. If it's bumps on the face and they're scattered around irregularly, there's a lot of other things. It could be anywhere from rosacea to whatever. But typically it tends to be overnight, three in a row, and quite itchy, and usually in the covered or the torso area of the body.
Okay. Do you have a remedy for that?
Trying to super – there are different sprays. There are different disinfectants, washing all the boy, this is tough because if it's a carpeted area, washing all the linens and such is easy, and up a carpet is hard. So killing the bugs where they live, which is a real hard thing to do, I believe. So far as actual spots on your body, an over-the-counter cortisone cream will help it go away a little bit faster, or a prescription, but it's just like a mosquito bite. Once it's there, it's going to take a while to fade, and those prescription, even prescription creams will help it go away a tiny bit faster, but not make it go away in a day.
So, okay, thank you.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thanks for the call. We have someone on a cell phone. We have just about 10 minutes left and one caller waiting. Time for others if you would like to join us, but we're going to run out of time pretty fast. So if you would like to ask a question for our guest, Dr. Ann Tice, probably ought to make that call pretty soon. 333-9455. Toll free anywhere. You can hear us. 800-222-9455. Someone on a cell phone next in Urbana. Good morning.
Hi. I have a question. I was washing dishes about a year ago and cut my finger, my left out, the outer part of my little finger, and it's kind of a U-shaped flap cut about the size of a dime, and I had surgery to reconnect the nerve, and they sewed it all up, but a year later, I have the feeling back in my finger, but that flap is just hard as a rock, and I have no feeling in there, and it's kind of like my skin is really tight. Do you have any recommendations on how to kind of loosen that up?
Well, that's a scarring reaction. I did a similar thing when I was young, too. Usually the flap will form when you cut it up toward the arm because the blood supply is a little bit different. And it does take a really long time for the nerve feeling to regenerate. It may take up to a year to regenerate if it does. But that sounds like a scarred area there with it raised up. That's a pretty difficult thing to do anything about. Perhaps massaging a little bit may soften it some, but just like other hard scars, they may or may not go away after you've had the trauma. There were some things to help scars like soften a little bit better. It's basically a silicone product. But I don't think that's going to help in your situation. It's more related to the anatomy and the fact that the scar is puffed up. So I'm not really sure. Menderma was talked about. That's an over-the-counter product. It's supposed to have some onion extract in it. I don't know if it smells. And that's supposed to soften scars, but I really have not been impressed with that. And the silicone treatments for scars, I've not been overwhelmed. I've been underwhelmed with that, actually, too. So I would just say some time and maybe put a little lotion on and massage that off and on several times during the day. See if that will soften it up slightly. Can't help
you. So I think if the wives' tale about putting the vitamin E liquid on there has no merit since you didn't mention that.
Well, vitamin E actually was showed to slow down wound healing. They recommend that to use with wounds, and it actually slowed it down, so we don't do that. Something just plain like a Vaseline with an open wound will heal it faster.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks, and good luck. A couple callers waiting. We'll go next to someone in Champaign on line number one. Good morning.
Hi. I have a flaky skin problem, and it kind of starts in the corner of my eye, almost the bridge of my nose, and it goes onto my eyelid and underneath my eye, and it's just little flakes. And I was wondering what I could use to kind of get rid of the flakes that's safe to use around my eyes.
Well,
and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, fine. The gentle skincare, mild soaps, I'll say oil of Olay. I don't know if they make the unfragranced one anymore. That would be better. Sometimes the peeling and flaking around the eyes is related to cosmetics and makeups, and you may have a mild sensitivity to it. It could be anywhere from the preservative, even in an eyeshadow, to an irritation to rubber in the eyelash curlers. I mean, crazy things can happen around the eyes. Also around the eyes, you can transfer products that your hands are into up to your eyes. I've had people with flaking around their eyes. It was due to an allergy to nail polish, so it gets really nutty. Trying to go with minimum makeup for a while and then reintroducing one thing at a time may tell you if there is something you're actually allergic to. Other people just have a tendency to get eczema and dry skin, and they'll show it around the eyelids. So far as what to use, there are a number of products in the cosmetic stores that are made specifically. They're a higher quality, a little bit more sterilely prepared that you can apply around the eyes. Most of those are okay, unless, of course, you're having an allergy, which we don't know. I don't get the products into my eyes, and I just use my regular body lotion. I'm not globbing it in there. I happen to use Cetaphil lotion, which is my favorite to use everywhere. And if it's really bad, you can try like a 1% hydrocortisone cream, but only for a couple of days at a time. That can be absorbed, even though it's over the counter. through the eyelid if you're using it forever and ever and ever, and increase eyeball pressure called glaucoma, which we don't want. So there's a bunch of suggestions, but you sprays in the environment can also cause that. Hairsprays, pledge, end dust, perfumes. You might, first of all, avoid all sprays or as much as you can and narrow down your cosmetics and see if it's related. As I mentioned, I have some allergies to some surface things, and I didn't realize it that I actually was allergic to this eyeshadow I'd used forever and ever and ever till I had to go back and get more of it. And I happened to read the ingredients and went, oh, well, duh, that's why my eyelids are getting flaky. I actually read the ingredients for change. Anyway, stop that. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, sounds like great advice. Let's go next to a listener in Champaign, line number 3. Good morning.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Hi there.
I have, like, these bumps on my arms. My doctor says catarsis pleurotosis or something like that.
Keratosis pilaris, right.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And he said just to go ahead and, like, use a rough sponge and kind of scrub them off, but that seems to be making it worse.
Well, it can. Often, keratosis means rough, and pilaris means around the hair follicle, so around the little tiny hairs, and it usually is on the outer part of the arms. Some people have it on the thighs, and particularly with kids, they may have bumpies on their cheeks, too. Now, run in families that have a higher incidence of hay fever, asthma, or allergies. You can get it without having any of that in yourself or your family, however. But those people that have it tend to have a little bit more sensitive skin. Keratosis pilaris is kind of like a little clogged bit of skin right around the hair follicle, like a blackhead is a bit of clogging around one of the oil glands. And it's another toughie to treat. You guys are trying to trick me today. My son has it really bad. He will not go outside in the summer, won't swim without a t-shirt. It can be quite a problem. The mechanical abrasion of it, such as recommended, sometimes will help smooth the feeling of it a little bit, but a lot of people get overly irritated with it, and it does make it worse. The amylactin, I never can spell out loud, amylactin, is a product that I mentioned earlier, or something that contains a lotion I'm talking about now, glycolic acid in it. Both those help the skin cells flake off easier, and they might be a little bit of help. A prescription for Retin-A I have seen the most help with, but that product also is incredibly irritating for the skin. So the few people that can use it might get some benefit. It's expensive. It's irritating. And so it's like, darn if you do, darn if you don't with that. Good moisturizers are helpful, but I would look for something like with a lactic acid in it or glycolic acid in it. Like amylactin might be one for you to try and see if that will help a little bit.
All right. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for the call. We have just about 3 minutes left with Dr. Ann Tice taking your questions on skincare. Our lines are open, and if you call real fast, we'll get you in 333-9455 or 800-222-9455, and we'll have to stop in about 3 minutes.
I want to make a little comment. This here is my plug because I have to be sun policed so often. For all of those who are lucky enough to escape Illinois winter, go to a warm and sunny place. It is not a good idea to get a, quote, baseline tan. We don't like those. And tanning parlors and all of that, we still don't like very much. Dermatologists don't like. But getting a baseline tan is not a good idea because it's all cumulative. All the light that you get to induce that your poor skin cells to try to dump out pigment to protect yourself from this noxious stimuli called the sun add up over time. And even the tanning parlors, that ultraviolet A penetrates deeper into the skin and will probably make you more wrinkly than if you were just get, quote, natural sunlight. Mm-hmm. But I'm recommending sunscreens. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I see, you know, especially among the student population, which we have a very large amount of here, many students who have this lovely tan during the middle of winter. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, that may look great now. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. We're seeing increasing problems with skin cancers in younger ages. There's been some basal cell skin cancers in kids that are living in Florida not using sunscreens at 16 years of age. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. It used to be when I first started practice in the dark ages that I'd only see skin cancer in folks that were 65 and up. And now it's pretty common in the 30s. And I'm not talking melanoma can occur in any age. But I'm talking the ones that seem to be more related to the sun, like a basal cell and a squamous cell. So, yes, we have to be annoying and tell you sunscreen all the time and not to get a baseline tan. So.
One of the other topics we sort of had left on the table is, you know, the presence of antibiotics in just about everything, every product, it seems, these days. And I wonder how much, you know, antibiotic soap, and we've got antibiotic wipes and lotion. And, I mean, is that...
Well, there's concern about that,
yeah.
That we're going to be generating more bacteria that are resistant to more things. And so there are some people that really would rather have you not do that and just use soap for a while. And not use all the antibacterial hand washes. There's concern about that causing it. And, hey, this is not my field, but I always wonder about all the antibiotics fed to the animals and such. But that's not my expertise. That bothers me, too.
Yeah, but in addition to that factor that we may be breeding, you know, antibiotic-resistant strains of things, you know, many of these products contain alcohol and so forth that you know, are drying, I presume.
Well, the alcohol by itself is drying, and then the antibiotic is a whole different factor of growing strains of bacteria that we're going to have a harder time treating in the future. Yeah. They're trying to get most of the acne patients to use minimal or even sub-antibiotic doses. This is a new idea for rosacea and acne. Instead of giving a full dose of an antibiotic, tetracycline, I'll give you an example, that would kill bacteria, they have found that using miniature doses, which isn't enough to kill the bacteria to make them resistant, can be very helpful for the inflammation and helpful for that process. So they're way cutting back on the dosages, and that seems to be working quite well.
Well, we'll have to stop there. Our guest during this hour has been Dr. Ann Tice, a board-certified dermatologist, been with us a number of times, and always great to have you here. Thanks so much.
Thank you.